This is Amateur Logic, episode 203, for March 14th, 2025. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. Whether you're chasing DX, experimenting with digital modes, or leading a local net, ICOM radios deliver crystal clear performance and seamless connectivity. Good evening. Welcome to another exciting episode of Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Tommy.
And I'm Emil.
And it's good to be back again. Mike is not with us tonight. Mike has been a traveler, and which has its drawbacks when you get on a plane with a lot of other folks. So he is feeling a little under the weather today. That, and plus, neither one of us could afford the tariffs on the Skype call, so he's not with us tonight. But hopefully he'll be feeling better soon and be back with us next month.
Hope so.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear about his trip.
I would, too. So, Tommy, what's been going on?
I've been playing around with some new toys. You'll see it in my segment tonight. But that's about it, really. Spent a lot of time with that.
Yeah. I really haven't been playing with any new toys. Just old toys.
Yeah, sometimes that's the best.
Yeah, but yeah, been staying real busy lately. But hey, at least we got more sunlight than we did last month.
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. Email, what's going on? Well, not that far south, but a little south of us.
Just right down there.
Yeah,
right down
in the swamps.
In the swamp,
over yonder.
So you guys have been playing with some new toys over there, Tommy. I've been playing with some old toys, which you're going to see today.
Is that an old toy?
This is an old toy, actually. It's almost 12 years old for me. Wow. But I decided to revisit some things and check out what's happening on the public service spectrums and listening and monitoring. And check, you'll see it coming up.
Cool. I've been into a lot of listening shortwave stuff lately. Let's do a lot of that.
Yeah. I've been doing, well, a little of that. Been doing a little AMDXing still. That's about to play out on me because, well, the winter time's running out. Best time to do that is in the winter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You don't have to, the competing lightning storms going on and all
right.
of that. So, factor on that. But, you know, short wave, you can stand a little more atmospheric noise.
Yeah.
Or of that type, anyway.
Been listening to some of those number stations. I need to go back and look at Peter's segment he did years and years and years ago on that. Been kind of interested in that. It's amazing to me that they're still going. I wonder if they're just doing it just out of, it's just automated, or if anybody's actually really using that stuff nowadays.
If it's pirates.
Well, it's supposed to be like messages to spies and all kinds of stuff.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah.
So I don't know. I wonder if it's for real, but it's still a lot of it goes on.
So what's your favorite number so far?
Four.
Four? That's the best one you've heard, huh? Okay.
Four.
All right. Well, you've been saying a lot about that lately, so I know you're having a good time with it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's pretty fun.
When you start talking about putting up new antennas, I know you're interested.
Yeah. I've been having a ball with it, man. It's been great.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. You know, I built my remote SDR recently, and that's been a blast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been playing with some of the online ones, too. Found some new stuff I didn't realize was on there. I may show some of that sometime coming up here pretty soon.
Cool.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like searching. Just searching. Picking a band, searching.
Yeah.
Just to see. Whether it's turning the dial, clicking the mouse, whatever. It's the searching for that signal.
Yeah.
And you find something that's, wait a minute, what is that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Can I decode it? Can I figure it out? Where is it?
Yeah.
Sometimes on the weekends, if you tune just below our 40-meter band, you'll find some pirates in there.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
I haven't found any pirates yet, not that I noticed.
I only found them one night, and I found two of them. One was on for
Well, I think I heard him for about an hour, and as soon as he shut down, another one came on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So apparently it's a coordinated schedule or something. I don't know. But that's the way it seemed that night. I haven't been able
not
to
Not that
listen
we condone since. That.
No, not that we do. And if you hear somebody that sounds like Tommy calling out numbers somewhere, it's not him.
It's not me.
Unless they're repeating only the number four.
I saw something today where somebody did a spoof of one of those, and he was calling out like Mexican foods, burrito, taco, all kind of stuff. It was pretty funny stuff. I'll send you the link to it later. You can look at it.
Okay, cool. Tommy, you've got, I don't know what you call this. Is this a news item or what is this?
Yeah, it's
this?
A news item. It's on the ARRL news site, I ran across it. Dayton Hamvention 2025 award winners have been announced. You know about that. You got one. You had a major award from there.
Special achievement award.
Yeah, it wasn't a leg lamp, but it was still really cool.
Well, it was. It was an honor.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So I thought I'd just kind of mention it. We know actually one of these guys for sure. Technical Achievement Award, Dr. Christina Collins, KD80XT. Congratulations to her. Special Achievement Award, that's the one you got. Julio Ripoll, I'm probably wrecking his name. Sorry about that. WD4R. Club of the Year is RV Radio Network, RVRN. I'm not sure. I haven't heard of that. I need to look that up. But you know this guy.
I know that guy.
Neil Rapp got the Amateur of the Year, WB9VPG, for his stuff with Youth on the Air. We talk about that a good bit on here.
Yeah.
Good guy. We know him pretty
Excellent.
Well. Yeah, so congrats to everybody, but especially Neil.
Were there others, or was that the highlight?
That's it.
That's it. Okay. Yeah, congratulations, Neil, and everyone else on the list this year.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting.
Any of you going?
Julio something. Y'all recognize that name?
I don't recognize it.
I think he was the lead ham at the National Hurricane Center, WX4NHC in Miami.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Tommy, you've been playing with something new here. I've heard the name. I'm just not that familiar with it.
Yeah, Meshtastic. It's really cool. It's off-grid network. Let's take a look at it, then we'll talk about it afterward. How about that? Well, today we're going to cover something kind of different. I've been interested in something called Meshtastic. I'm a little late to the party with it. I've been seeing a lot of posts about it. I decided to give it a try, see what it was about. In a nutshell, it's small little devices like this one here that I've already put together. It's got a little antenna in here. It runs on 915 megahertz or about, and doesn't require a license. You don't have to be a ham to use it, although there is a ham radio operator mode on it. We'll talk about that later. If you have more than one, you can put it so far apart, and they'll make their own network. And if you get enough of these together, like out in California, up in the Northeast, there are quite a few, you can use your phone with an app and message people on the network without having to use the internet. No infrastructure required other than just these devices that are all paired together. I haven't done a lot with it. I'm just kind of getting started on it. I bought these little Heltec V3 boards. They came with a case and everything, and I bought the batteries separately. Let's go ahead and put it together, flash the Meshtastic firmware on it. So I've got some here. I bought a set of these Heltec V3 boards off of Amazon. The link will be in the show notes if you want to give it a try. These are built on the ESP32 type architecture, I think. It's got a display already built on it. Now these have the pins on the back. I wish they didn't because they kind of get in the way of the case. They stick out of the back of the case here. And not too crazy about that. So I may either take them off or get some other ones or something. Or 3D print something if we cover it up. But let's go ahead and flash one. It's real straightforward. The thing comes with an antenna. Comes with, this one came with the cases. I didn't know it did, honestly, so... And it comes with two of these little, I think they're called JST connector pigtails. They plug in right here on the back. And it came with two of those. And then the antenna. One thing I didn't mention, it's called a LoRa device, LORA, which stands for long range, I believe. We're going to take it out later and test it. Probably not this segment because I don't have that much time, but probably the next one we're going to take them out and see what the range is. So before I flash it, I'm going to put the antenna on here just in case. So you don't want any transmitter to transmit without an antenna on it, so you chance to take a chance on burning it up. Okay, so it snapped on there, as you can see. It's got a USB-C connector on the back here that hook it up to the computer, and I've already got a cable hooked up to my machine, so let's go ahead and plug it up. This is the first time this one's been plugged up at all. Connecting fail, Wi-Fi setup. This is the Heltec software, LoRa software that came on here. LoRa mode 0. But we're going to overwrite that with the Meshtastic. I honestly don't even know what that does. I probably should get one sometime and play around with it. So let's try it. Go to flasher.meshtastic.org. Pick your device. And you can see there are a lot of devices that are supported. This is DIY stuff. There's some Raspberry Pi Pico stuff that you can get, boards for that. I'll probably play with that later if I like the whole thing. I've got one of these LilyGo T-Deck Pluses coming. So I'll show you that when it gets here. Okay, so let's find the one we've got, Heltec. Here it is right here, Heltec V3. Pick the firmware you want. I think it defaults to the latest stable. So there's .20 beta. That's what we'll use. And let's flash. Known issues. You can read all that if you want to, but I'm going to go ahead and just do it so we can get finished. And I want to do a full erase and install. And I want to bundle the web UI because that's what we're going to go through to set it up. Erase, flash, and install. You can see over here on our device, the screen went black now. Meshtastic doesn't really support voice. It's only for sending short text messages. So you can set up one here, one somewhere else, and message between them. There's an app on the phone that we'll look at shortly that you can connect to it as well. First of all, we're just going to focus on getting the software on the device. Looks like it's finished. We boot it up. Okay. We can close the flasher now. We're finished with that. So let's take a look at it. Let's go ahead and set it up. Okay, so we're going to use the app and set it up to the network so we can get to it. I've got a Meshtastic app that I installed off the App Store. Oh, plus. Meshtastic right there. There's the other device. It's going to ask for your number. 187159 is mine. 187159. Pair. Okay, so now I've got my other one paired. Now we can do it. Go in here to... So let's go into radio configuration and see what we've got. User. Let's give it a name. My other one I called N5ZNO Node 1, so I'm going to make this one N5. ZNO 2. Yeah, I'm a licensed amateur radio operator. I don't know why it asked that, but I am, so I'm going to go ahead and check that. Every time you make a change, it sends it to the device and it reboots it. Okay, so it's got a name on it. Next thing I want to do is go into device. Let's just see what we've got. It's a client. Double taps or button press. Disable the LED heartbeat. That's that white light right there. We turn that off. It's kind of annoying to me. I don't know why it's on there. I turned it off on my other one. Somewhere in here, we set the region. Maybe it was over here. Oh, region unset. United States. Rebooting again. Like I said, pretty much everything you change on it is going to reboot the device, which is fine. You can see my name right there, ZNO2. Long fast is one of the channels. We'll cover that in a few minutes. So let's make this a little bit easier to set up. And I don't really like using my phone with it. I usually leave it disabled because it just floods it when it's connected to the internet with the notifications. So let's kind of skip that. Let's go over here. There. Radio configuration, network. Wi-Fi enabled. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put my SSID in here, which is my call sign, and my key, which I'm not going to show you. It should put it on the network now. Click send. And when it comes back up, hopefully we'll have an IP address. So we'll go backwards. Go backwards again. There it is. 184. So we'll connect to that. Cancel. Okay. Let's stop using the phone. Let's disable this. And let's go back to the browser now. So we'll go over here. Since it's on the network, we can go to meshtastic.local. And let's make a new connection. Meshtastic.local is fine. If you had both of them on, you can put the IP address in there. And the IP address shows on the one of these screens. You see here there are three pages. The little dots right there show one. And you can tap the button, the top button, it'll scroll to the next page. 192.168.1.184 on this one. There's my Wi-Fi and there's my meshtastic.local. One thing to say, if you put the wrong credentials in there for your Wi-Fi, it's going to freak it out and you may have to plug it back up and reflash it. I had to do that with my other one twice till I got figured out what was going on. So let's go in here now and check it out. Okay, this is very similar to what we had. It says it's 100%, 101%, but that's just because we're plugged in. I don't even have the battery hooked up to it. You can look at messages here, send them. You can look at a map of where the Meshtastic nodes are. The active ones, I think. And you don't see anything down here where I am. Actually, I don't see anything. Oh, we're not on the network. let's fix that. Let's go back to... We need to configure MQTT, which is message queuing transport something or another. so we want to enable that. Don't change the username and password. Everyone uses the same one. Proxy to client. This is if you're going to send messages, it uses the client's internet if you have it. Map reporting enabled. And I'm going to leave that off for right now because you can put your GPS coordinates in here if you turn that on. And within however far, however distance. So you don't really, you may not want people to know exactly where you are. I'll leave it like that. Meshtastic.org. All that stuff's the same. Main thing, you just need to turn it on. So let's save. Look over here. It's rebooting again. And it's back up. So let's go ahead. The primary channel comes on by default. It's called a long fast. Uplink enabled. Downlink enabled. I don't know that this is required. Actually, you can leave it blank, but I put that in there because that's the standard one. There's a lot of traffic over the internet. Now, you might ask, why am I enabling the internet? Because I don't have anything else around me to send messages to right now. So later I'll probably turn this off, but I'm going to leave it on for right now. Okay, I think I must have some messages already. Okay. You can see some are coming across. I don't know why I'm not seeing them in here because I should see them in my browser. So let's close this or go back. Scratch. new Meshtastic.local connect. There they are. I just wasn't connected. So be sure after you make a change, sometimes you may need to close the browser if you're using that. But you can see all these nodes that are on the internet. I see test over here, and I see test is on my screen. Anyway, that's the gist of getting it started. I want to take it a little bit farther, and actually I want to take it a lot farther and see what the actual usefulness of the thing is. So I hope to take one of these and put a solar panel on it, put it out. I've got a little treehouse in the back there, sort of a treehouse thing, and I'm going to put it up in the loft where it's covered from rain and run a solar panel around to the side so it'll keep it charged and just leave it there and see if I get any nodes connected to it or people come passing by or whatever and see what happens. Well, I hope you find it useful. We'll continue on soon and continue experimenting, learn more about it. 73.
Yeah, I wanted to take it out and do some more with it, but it took so long to go through all the steps to do that. It was going to make it, that would have been just a Tommy show tonight.
You know, I had a treehouse when I was a kid, too.
Yeah, I call it a treehouse, but it's like a little house on stilts.
Okay.
It was for kids. You've seen it back there, haven't you?
Yeah, maybe so.
I know you've seen it, but it's been a long time since you've been over.
Yeah. Probably.
It's more of a squirrel house, to be honest with you.
So I was going to say, probably the last time I saw it was after an episode of Squirrel Damage. Yeah.
So the thing I was talking about the phone, if you hooked up to MQTT and you use that long fast channel, which is the default, and I don't know why they named it that. That's kind of weird, but anyway, there's so many. Every time somebody connects one of those nodes, it's going to send you a message, a notification. So I turned all those off. I actually blocked the notifications on my phone. It's better. But I bought one of these T-Deck Plus, and they released a 2.6 firmware for it. It's got a GUI on it. It's pretty nice. I'll show it later on, too. Okay. But I've been having a good time with that, too. It's between that and the shortwave stuff, been having pretty good bit of fun.
So is it really safe to connect to something on the internet called Flasher?
It depends on what you're into, I guess.
Just don't search.
Yeah, just don't search for it. I wouldn't want to leave it hooked up to the internet all the time, but like if we set one up
in my treehouse,
how tall is your treehouse?
Right now it's on the ground, but you know I could get it off the ground.
I actually bought some high gain antennas for it too, so I'm gonna 3D print a different box, put a high gain antenna on it. See what I can do with that, too.
And so that's operating in 2.4 gigs? Or
915 megahertz.
Oh. So it's not using the Wi-Fi, really, in the ESP unless it connects to the internet.
It's only using that for the internet.
Okay. And the LoRa thing, that's a different module?
LoRa? No, yeah. It's all part of it.
It's all part of LoRa.
Same device. Right.
So that should be better distance. Yeah, than you get with Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. It says long range. I don't know how long.
Yeah, well, it's not like HF. Yeah.
No, I know. It's going to be line of sight, but I don't know how long. See how it goes.
What I've read, you can get reasonable. I mean, like, I'm thinking handy talkie distance.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think I've seen where people were doing that with it.
I'm going to try to get one of them up high and then bring one over here. Maybe we'll play around with it and see if we can get it.
Whoever's brave enough to climb my tower.
I'm not climbing that tower anymore. I did that before.
Yeah. All right.
It was in better shape, and so was I.
Yeah. Don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment. But first, this message from ICOM.
Combining cutting-edge technology, unmatched reliability, and user-friendly design, ICOM's amateur radios are the gold standard for ham radio enthusiasts. Whether you're chasing DX, experimenting with digital modes, or leading a local net, ICOM radios deliver crystal-clear performance and seamless connectivity. With a legacy of innovation and commitment to quality, ICOM continues to set the benchmark for amateur radio excellence, making them the trusted choice for operators worldwide. Introducing ICOM's IC7760, the pinnacle of base station excellence for amateur radio enthusiasts. Designed to deliver unmatched performance, the IC7760 features state-of-the-art technology, exceptional RF clarity, and an intuitive interface, all housed in a sleek and durable design. The base station features a separate remote control head and RF deck, providing excellent flexibility for installation. Place the RF deck closer to the antenna feed point, freeing up space on your desk. You can also connect the control head to the RF deck through your home network, enabling remote operation from anywhere in your home without need for a PC. Pair the IC7760 with the powerful ICPW2 linear amplifier and take your contesting experience to the next level. The ICPW2 seamlessly integrates with the IC7760, delivering a massive power boost and enabling enhanced long-distance communications with DPD, digital predistortion, and a built-in 2x6 automatic antenna selector for SO2R single-operator 2 radios. Together, they define what's possible in amateur radio, setting a new standard for global connectivity and reliability. For more information about all of ICOM's great amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur.
Thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Amateur Logic. And
thanks for the cool shirt.
Thanks for the cool shirt. Man, I sure would like to have one of those IC7760s.
Oh, yeah. You and me both, man.
I've got a 7700, so it would be a good, you know, a good next radio for me.
Yeah, well, there's supposed to be one coming here sooner or later to get to play with.
There is.
We got a SmackDown coming.
We do. I got a news item here.
What? Do tell.
The new news is kind of the same as the old news.
Meets a new boss.
Yep. H.R. 1094, the Amateur Radio Emergency Preparedness Act, is out there again. And they are proposing to amend the Communications Act of 1934 to prohibit the application of certain private land use restrictions to amateur radio antennas and for other purposes. Application of private land use restrictions to amateur radio antennas, Part 1 of Title 3 of the Communications Act of 1934, is amended by adding at the end the following. Application of private land use restrictions to amateur radio antennas, Section 346. In general, a private land use restriction that prohibits, restricts, or impairs, or has the effect of prohibiting, restricting, or impairing an amateur radio operator from operating, installing, or maintaining any amateur station antenna on property subject to the control of the amateur radio operator may not be adopted are enforced except as permitted by subsection B. Now, you can look this up for yourself and get all the details by going to the link at congress.gov, shown here below. It'll also be in the show notes. I was wondering what was in subsection B. What could they still hold against you?
That's a good question.
Well, let's see.
You got a good answer?
Yeah. I'm not sure how good it is, but I got
an answer.
Got an answer, or at least I can't answer it.
Well,
but
that's good for extra credit anyway.
It is. Permissible restrictions. 1. In general, subject to paragraph 2, the following private land use restrictions applicable to amateur station antennas may be adopted or enforced. So these are things that won't help you as an amateur. The HOAs will still be able to do this stuff. A restriction that requires an amateur station antenna to be installed in compliance with the specifications of the manufacturer of the antenna, applicable zoning ordinances, amateur radio tower ordinances, if any, and governmentally adopted building codes. So, yeah. Those things
so
you'll have to
city,
adhere to.
If your city outlaws towers, you can't do it. But if the city doesn't care, the neighborhood can't stop you.
But the way I understood it, the city couldn't stop you already. I thought
what would be the word?
Thought it was only the HOAs. Well, yeah, and you know you'd want to. I could see them saying you got to install it within the specifications of the manufacturer. That
seems
reasonable.
That's probably a good idea anyway.
Yep. Okay. B, a restriction that requires an amateur station antenna to be maintained in structurally safe condition. You can see that. You should do that anyway. Yeah. You could live with that. You can understand why they'd want it to be structurally safe.
Yep.
C, a restriction that requires any deteriorated or structurally unsafe component of an antenna system to be repaired, replaced, or removed. Yeah.
Seems somewhat reasonable.
That seems reasonable. D, a restriction that requires an amateur station antenna to be removed if the property on which the antenna is located ceases to be subject to the control of the amateur operator. Well, yeah, if the ham's not there anymore, yeah, then I could see why.
Sure.
Yeah, you couldn't claim an exemption there. E, a restriction that requires an amateur station antenna ground-mounted electrical enclosure, ground-mounted control enclosure, or guy wire anchor to be visually screened if such enclosure or anchor, I, is visible from the street faced by the dwelling. Oh, you can't see your antenna or your anchors from the street. It's got to be visually screened.
The ground stuff, right?
A restriction that requires an amateur station antenna, ground-mounted electrical enclosure, ground-mounted control enclosure, or guy wire anchor to be visually screened if such enclosure or anchor
guy
is visible.
Guy wire anchors, just the stuff that's on the ground.
Yep.
So you got to plant a bush in front of it.
Okay. All right. That seems like a possibility. Maybe. Or II is located in an unfenced side or rear yard and is visible from an adjoining property. Means your neighbor can't see it. And
you need to plant one on both sides then.
Yep. So you can have an antenna as long as nobody sees it, is the way I'm reading that.
I got it.
Okay.
Just park the old car around there instead to block the guy wires anchors.
Okay.
Pull an old car or something around there. They like that better.
Hook a chain around it to your bumper, and if they ask you why it's there, keep anybody from stealing the car.
There you go.
Okay. I don't know. So some of this was added. Some of this is new language added to the Amateur Radio Emergency Preparedness Act that hasn't passed in the past. So they're trying to get more people satisfied to allow this to go on through.
They
anyway,
we're going to make everybody happy ever.
Go to that link right there and you can read more about it for yourself. Don't take my word for it.
I'm not so sure, but I think our Senator Roger Wicker might be one of the ones.
No, he's not one of the sponsors.
He did at one time.
He did.
Something like that.
You can get more details on it right there. Now, check it out for yourself, because it'd be a good idea if you contacted your representatives. And right now it's just in a subcommittee.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps it gets out of there and advances to the next stage and eventually makes it all the way through. But, you know, it's a tough push. So
y'all have any of those cell phone trees?
Oh, yeah. We got them up in my town for sure. You got them here too, Bridget?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I predict tree amateur radios.
Yeah. We even got a Washington Monument over here.
Yeah. I passed that on interstates a few times.
Yep.
Yeah, when I was working in Missouri, they're like, "Hey, Tommy, you're from down there. What's the deal with that Washington Monument?" Everybody up there knows that they have a customer. The company I work for has a customer right around the corner from it. And so they turn right there to go to their. So like, what's the deal with that Washington Monument thing there?
Yeah. Yep.
The obelisk.
Email.
George.
I know we were talking earlier about searching. Tommy was talking about searching around on HF.
Yeah.
You like to do some searching around on higher frequencies, I think.
Yep, you're right. You're right. Using older tools and technologies, and occasionally I do a double take or look backwards trying to get my ring light out of it.
Yeah.
Occasionally I'll take a look back to see what's changing, what's new, because the cheap old man might be on the prowl to actually open his wallet to find out what's happening. So I wanted to go back and look to see what's around my new location and what's around here using the old. So I did that double take and learned a thing or two.
I think the cheap old man might be more prone to keeping his more rare thing for him to keep his wallet closed.
You're saying the wallet does not properly close anymore?
No, I think it's stuck open.
There may be a disposition shift. There may be, yeah. I'm learning some things. So,
hello, George, Tommy, Mike, Amateur Logic TV viewers. So every once in a while, I change topics and go talk about something else that I'm usually involved in with either computers or another communication type systems. In this case, it's all about public service and just being aware of what's around you, using some technologies that are out there that are pretty advanced and kind of hard to understand, but got to hand it to Uniden in this format and their latest group of monitors and scanners. They knocked it out of the park. That's hands down to me the best presentation or organization of information and tactics, if you will, or methods used for finding and being aware of what's around you. Well, let's take a look at the user interface here. One of the most important things about this particular receiver, besides the fact that it's a trunk tracker, which I'll get into a little bit later, as well as able to receive digital modes, it's the interface, the user interface. Touch screen lets you control it directly from the unit. And you can enter either your zip code and or plug in a GPS to it and let it figure out where you are. And it will use the entire nationwide database that's built into the unit. There's an SD card in the back to determine. Or you can put your city and other information in. It's a really neat interface, and it works really well to actually see what's happening there. You can also, by category, departments and unlock. I'm going to unlock this category here. You can basically lock it into a particular band or radio type service. Otherwise, it's going to go through all of them. Based on your location and the distance you select, or range as they call it here, the range option. So that's a really neat interface, and just makes it totally easy to zoom in and figure out what exactly you want to hear, if there's anything around you or not. Plus you can do the standard type scans, just going up and down a range of frequencies and or, like I said, lock it into a specific department and or, you know, a category of things that they've categorized and people have inputted into the system, which you can download to it and update it, keep it updated from the computer. There's a software that comes with it. So really awesome user interface there. Really makes it useful. Comes with a stand there on its own, but just a little bit of a look around. You have the USB port there for connectivity, the power supply if you want to keep it there. It also charges the batteries that are in the back of it, as well as a port for GPS, power and the volume for the actual physical unit up front, antenna ports, and audio headphones, headphone jack, antenna, and line out, which is neat for when you're wanting to hear it maybe on a better system and or to send it the audio elsewhere. It's very clear. The digital decode is very fast, and it's pretty impressive to me. Now, with that said, this is a 10-year-old scanner. There are some new things that are happening within the, might even be longer than that, maybe 15 years old. There are new things happening within the public services. They're changing from APCO 25, Project 25, to a different phase, Phase 2, which is basically them adding time division multiplexing access. So basically doubling their available channels and bandwidth using their existing equipment. So it's a win-win for them. But you do have to, it's backwards compatible, which means you can still listen here, but I'll probably wind up getting the other versions of these that have that built in as well. So lots of similarities between amateur radio and public service scanning, like the AMBE chips, right, that we're all familiar with, and the time division multiplex like DMR, or some systems use NXDN, and some are even encrypted, which this will not pick up. So if you live in an area that has that, this will not do what you need it to do. It might be able to trunk it, but it's not going to be able to decode it, because there are certain things that they don't want to be heard. So anyway, great little package here, especially with that GPS function, and wherever you go, zip code is all it takes, and it's going to load the entire national database for your area within a 30-mile range or whatever range you pick. It'll limit the scans to just those channels, so extremely effective little device here, and it just works. Well, not only are you is it possible to avoid or lock it into a particular service, but you can also avoid a particular service that's in it within, or a department that's within. That comes in really handy when there's a birdie frequency, or you know, nuisance things, or something that you just don't want to hear or listen to. It's up to you. This gives you literally a one-touch avoid button pressing, you know, screen, or touch sensitive screen, which means you can do it all from right here. And you can either make that temporary and or permanently, in order so it'll resume after a while, or if you don't do anything, it's not going to avoid it, like I just did. So it's a toggle. Basically, you can go on and off with the avoids, and it does keep track of that over time, which is neat. You can mess with the display options. There's quite a few of service types that you can go through and check out. And you can also set all of this up from the software that is a part of the computer program. The Sentinel is what it's called. And there's other updates too, and unlocks and things that Uniden allows you to buy and or license. So pretty neat the thing. They are definitely on the expensive side, not cheap old man compliant. However, if you want to hear what's going on around you, then that's the way. So neat stuff. You can set up all the audio options, display options. The weather mode is in there too for listening to the alerts, although I usually keep a separate radio for that. Can't do it all in one, or I won't at least. And plenty of advanced options that you can set depending on your what you learn from it, I guess, or what you want to hear and or see. So, really, really good interface to me. It took all the fun right out of trying to figure out all of that trunking nonsense and all of the other things that are built in to systems or systems designed. And we'll talk a little bit about that coming up.
Let's give it a look with some AI about the questions. What is APCO 25 or P25, I should say? Just to get a look into that. There you go. Set of digital radio communication standards designed for public safety organizations in North America. I think the idea there was they wanted to standardize for interoperability across agencies. And one of the things I wanted to bring up while looking at this is the different phases, right? There are phase one and phase two type receivers that are compatible. And the difference is, as you can see here, they used phase two is half the bandwidth, and they're adding TDMA or time division multiplex access to it, which is similar to DMR in slots. So they effectively doubled their channel capacity on their trunked systems. And speaking of that, what is a trunked system? Let's find out. I know from my experience in IT, trunked systems on a phone system or a business phone system is, you know, when you hit the or dial 9 on a system, you'll wind up with an outside line that you can call outside. Well, there's a trunk or a group of 25 lines, let's say in a T1, that is selected as soon as you hit that 9 button. So again, it's all about, if you have 1,000 employees, you're not going to have 1,000 radios for each employee. You're going to have a trunk of maybe 25 of them that can use them, because they're not all going to use them simultaneously at the same time. So let's make sure I get this spelled right. I don't think there's a C in there. And see what they say here. There you go. A trunk radio system is a type of two-way communications that automatically assigns available channels to users, improving efficiency and making large volumes of traffic or managing traffic. So, again, they're not going to allocate everyone in the company or a public service agency a channel, right? It would be too much radio. So what they do is they use a lower number. Again, I'll use that same thing. If it's 1,000 employees, maybe you'll have 100 channels, or you know, it might be some subset of that. So, so basically, ensuring that those spectrums or those channels, the existing repeaters, are using the spectrum efficiently is what this is all about. So, phase two effectively doubled the capacity, and therefore, you got to have a scanner or a receiver that's capable of using and digging into those slots, the TDMA. So, neat stuff.
Got a call back. The kids are now going to be back at the park. There's going to be a hole in the fence that they go through.
That's awesome. Pretty cool, man. I haven't seen that one. I've actually got the unit in HP436, handheld scanners.
Yep, trunk. There you go. So you got phase one and two,
yep,
with a trunk tracker five, which is all the different systems that are out there. So.
Yeah, put the zip code in there and
yep.
You tell what the range is you want. So like, I think I have mine set to like 30 miles, something like that. It's a pretty nice scanner. I actually bought it used at the Jackson Hamfest for $300.
Yep.
So is that compliant email?
It's probably more compliant than his.
No.
Neither is mine. And that's the thing. So the one he just showed in this one as well is the analog. It's the older path, right? Even in him now, we're doing the digital modes, and so are they, of course, with Project 25 for the whole interoperability thing. But that use of the spectrum, just like DMR, George, you know, there can be two simultaneous discussions on that same single frequency. So when they switched to phase two of the P25, they automatically doubled their bandwidth. If they had 50 channels, now they got 100.
So did you buy the extra keys for yours for the different modes?
No, I was true to Chief Old Man status in that regard.
Well, I wasn't true to it, so I bought three of them.
So, yeah. And so one of the things they're changing, and I don't know if this is on yours or not, Tommy, but instead of the analog pathways of coding, right, just like ICOM is doing and other things, they're digitizing the RF coming in, right, and then putting it through SDR process. And Uniden calls that true IQ. And that technology is just applying the same thing we've always seen on the ham side of sampling, the direct sampling from ICOM and other techs that's turning it, pushing the data through the SDR process, you know, FPGA or whatever it is, in that tech. So they're getting really good at it, but yeah, the prices are also getting really good.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. I got mine for about half what it really sells for normally. But anyway, I was pretty happy with the find.
Yeah, you said 300, man. That's a $500-something scanner you got.
It's $589 on Amazon.
And you're saying that one's 8 years old, you've got Emil?
It's 10. It's 10 plus 10. Years old. I've been having this forever.
Too. It's been around a long time.
This is the home. They call it the Home Patrol 1, and they have a 2, which is phase 2 of that APCO. And like Jerry's saying in the chat room, they don't decrypt. They don't participate in any encryption. So if they want to hide what's happening on there, they can, and they do. So you got to really see if it's in what's available in your area isn't or is capable of being used. Otherwise, that $600 investment is going to get really
Most of the stuff around here is on that MSWIN network that you're using, that you're showing there. Like our local police, the fire, all that stuff, everything's on there. Yazoo's.
Yep.
I can hear Yazoo City, all that stuff, just like it's in my backyard.
I need an app for my Pi.
Good luck.
A Pi amp?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool, man.
That is. Yep.
I thought he said you got the SDS-100 or somewhere I saw that.
In the January edition, QST from the ARRL, they did a review on that SDS-100. Very similar radio to what Tommy just showed and has. And the differences here is that color screen and the way they packed everything.
And there's GPS in there, I believe.
Yeah. You know, there's everything built in. Then there's the keys you can get so that it decodes NXDN and DMR and Pro Voice and all sorts of things.
Pro Voice, that's what I was trying to think.
Yeah. Which is pretty obscure these days, but there are some places that use that. So you just got to figure out what's in your area. But the thing here about this one, the reason I'm listening is because this is an example of one of the ones they're have out that is using the SDR tech. So, you know, the prices on these things are obviously reflective of the compute power that's in it. The entire nationwide databases are in them. The GPS that automatically selects that where you are, and you don't have to do anything anymore. You know, scanners used to be inputting a whole bunch of stuff, grouping them, banking them, not anymore.
Yeah.
And the trunking makes it even more fun because you used to have to know what kind of trunk system it was and tell it that, not anymore.
Yeah.
it just knows. So lots of good tech in here, plus the SDR where it's digitally sampling the RF coming in. They call it True IQ. Other companies call it different things. But that's why. But you know, go check out that review of this, and you'll see what I'm talking about, what they're doing. So anyway,
my friend
Billy's
got that one. I was with him. We bought it. We were up in Ohio going to work, and we went to Universal Radio, and he bought one there while we were in the store.
Yep. Yeah, and they've been around for a while. For sure, but I just, again, every once in a while, I take a look back over my shoulder just to see what's new in that realm, and that's what I found, George.
Okay, so you don't have this one currently.
I do not.
It won't arrive till next week, is that what I'm hearing?
When's it delivered?
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
Well, that's a nice one. That's about the best one you can get as far as I know.
There is one higher.
Is it?
When's that one coming? Yeah, it's like a mobile.
Oh, mobile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys and your fancy scanning machines.
The Unitens are nice because you get that software. I think it's called Sentinel software, and you can download updates to it. So
that is an awesome system. I'm sorry. It just works.
Yeah.
It just works.
Yeah, it's really nice.
You know, the last scanner I had was an 8-channel realistic handheld.
Yeah, how many crystals did you have in it?
8 crystals?
No, it didn't need crystals.
Direct entry?
It's direct entry, yes. It was about the size of a brick, and it had a rubber ducky you could beat a vandal with. I mean, it was a heavy-duty rubber ducky on it.
Yeah.
And it worked. And I don't know what happened to that.
I got an analog scanner. I got it clearance at Radio Shack for like $30.
Yeah.
It says realistic or whatever it is on it. Pros? I forget. But anyway, yeah. But it's a unit in. You've seen them before.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When you take them apart, the boards are all unit in.
I used to use a lot of Bearcats in years past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My grandmother had one. She used to listen to it all the time.
Really?
Yeah. She loved listening to the police and the fire. She had crystals in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we used to sell crystals when I worked in the store. We had some of the Bearcat scanners and had all the local crystals.
Yeah.
In one of those little drawers there, I'd pull it out if you wanted to, you know, whatever channels you wanted. And eventually they came out with a direct entry synthesized. That just changed the whole ball game right there.
Yeah, it wasn't playing fair for us people that still had crystals.
Yeah.
And that's what Uniden, the same idea you just talked about 20 years ago, is what Uniden has done again. And I don't know if you've noticed, but just about every vendor that's out there has disappeared.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that GUI just blew it all the way in the way it goes for the trunking. I mean, the only other higher radio I can think of quality-wise would be that AOR, right? The Japanese company, I believe it's called AOR, but I'm not sure they're even doing the trunking part that unit is doing.
Yeah. I like my Hicom R8600 receiver.
Yeah?
It's pretty nice, but it does do trunking.
Yep. No, different idea behind that completely, mm-hmm. Right. But still an awesome piece of equipment there, man. I wish I had that one. The specs on that thing is phenomenal.
Yeah, I use it every single day. So not a day goes by I don't turn it on. In fact, sometimes I don't turn it off.
Any news or information we need to pass along before we get out of here tonight?
No. What day's Ham College going to be? 28th?
That is a good question. It could be March 28th. That'd be in 2 weeks.
When's the net?
When is the net? You know, as a matter of fact, there is a net coming up, as you mentioned there. That is coming up, that'll be the fourth Tuesday of the month.
That comes up to the 25th of March.
March
25th. So you guys put it on your calendar and join us. It's a big time. March 25th. 8 p.m. at all those places listed on your screen right now.
Yep. Join us there, and that'll be 0100 UTC.
It will. This time.
Email, what's with the spiffy new hat there?
You know, you guys remember the Winter Field Day video we presented last episode from K4KJQ, the Bluegrass Amateur Radio Society Club, or BARS, in Lexington, Kentucky. Well, they done sent me a hat, and a pretty snazzy one at that.
Oh, nice.
Show you the back of it.
Okay.
Got the monogram going on, and the
gold,
logo dude. From the
gold
BARS hat.
For the cheap guy.
Shout out to W9KHZ again for hooking me up with the swag from the BARS Club out in Kentucky. And that was David Richardson, W9KHZ, longtime viewer of the show.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, man. Looks good.
You had some cards or something there too, didn't you?
I did. He sent me a QSL card, which I have to respond to and reply to. Very nice card.
Very nice.
Thank you, David.
And did you tell me that they watched the show up there?
Yeah, they sent me a picture of them all in the club looking at the TV that they have in their club watching the show. So, like, they've been watching for a while.
Awesome.
That's like extra points right there, isn't it?
That's
absolutely
it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, David, and the club there for that. Emil, you look good with a Howl Sound purple colored hat.
You like that?
I like that. Very nice.
I was wondering, you know, he sent me it's purple and gold, purple and gold on the back, and I was wondering because they're in the Big Blue Nation up there. In Kentucky.
Yeah.
They know. I guess they know I'm LSU.
Yeah.
And Tommy's Alabama, so yeah. That's all. We could have some interesting conversations on the net.
Yeah.
any final news information you need to pass along?
Keep it cheap, unlike me.
Yeah, don't do what he says, not what he does.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. For me, I don't know. Just stay tuned. We'll be back around the middle of April. Probably, I don't know, it'll either be the 11th or the 18th. That's a month away.
I have to say the supplies for my project this year, was only like $35 for both of those devices with the cases and everything. So.
Okay, and this is March. Yeah, that'll work out.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for being here, everyone. Join us again next month and on March 28th for the Next Am College, where we're studying for the amateur technician exam. Tell your mom and them, any friends you got that might be interested in becoming ham radio operators or family, we're right there to do some splaining.
Yep.
And...
I'm not doing many gazintas.
Not yet. That could be coming.
Yeah, there'll be some of it.
Yep. Who you got there with you, Emil?
Well, lo and behold, you get a new hat unless he shows up.
Oh, he must be hungry.
This is the dog that you see in my videos, by the way, with the paw dragging the hat off the table. That's her. She can sense the new hat.
Okay. She smells
it. She could taste it.
That's funny. You are too funny, you.
A hat retriever.
Yep. See you guys on the net. Save the date and check it out. You'll enjoy it.
Yep. 7-3.
7-3, everybody. Good night.